So who says we all can't travel in space?
10, 9, ignition sequence start.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast
off! Space DIY style. What you're hearing is the sound of space flight by Luke Geisbühler, his son and his friend doing the countdown there. What they're doing is launching a balloon which has on it an HD camera and a GPS trackable iPhone 4 to go up as high as 60,000 feet and take a picture of the Earth. Luke joins us now. Luke Geisbühler, you're in Brooklyn, right?
I am indeed.
Spaceport Brooklyn, we will call it from now on. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm just about to get on a plane and go to a mere 30,000 feet.
All right, a mere 30,000 feet. All right, so forget the New Mexico spaceport of Richard Branson and the Virgin space operation, or NASA for that matter. What did you do and how did you do it?
Well, I had seen different clips on the internet about people putting cameras onto balloons with varying levels of success, and it just seemed like such a fantastic thing that one could do for fairly little money. And so we got a weather balloon, did a lot of research. We built a craft which has a camera and is insulated to be able to survive that journey. And then it has a parachute that deploys when it comes down. And it seemed pretty straightforward and simple at first. But the more we looked into the things that could go wrong, the more complex it got. It took us about 8 months of research and testing with my son, which was really fun, like throwing the craft with the parachute off the roof and watching it deploy properly. That took a while. I think I walked up those stairs about 24 times.
So, Luke, what's your son's name?
My son's name is Max.
Max. Do you call him Captain Max or?
I see
Commander Luke.
Like Commander.
Yeah, Commander,
yes.
Commander Luke and Captain Max. All right, that's great. So you are relying on a kind of a DIY space movement where a lot of people have used balloons to get digital cameras, which are getting smaller and smaller, into space. Part of this is a payload issue, but you've relied on two things, HD technology to get full motion video, and also the fact that the iPhone 4 is apparently durable and GPS trackable, so when the balloon pops and the phone and the camera come back to Earth, you can find it. How long did it take you to find?
It took us a little. It didn't take us long. It showed up on a Google Map. It's part of an application that you can download, and it will actually take a GPS coordinate and send it to a cell phone tower, and then it shows up on Google Map as a blip. And so we drove to that spot, and finding the general area didn't take long at all. It was just following the map. But finding it in the woods took several hours, and we finally found it in the darkness, actually, because I figured it might be dark by the time we find it. So we put a light, a little, like, $1.99 LED light on the engine and the outside of the craft, and that's how we found it, because it was the only thing lit up.
What a smarty pants. You're good, man. So how were you worried it would land in someone's swimming pool or go down a chimney or maybe land in the ocean or at Langley, the CIA?
I mean, the ocean was a huge, huge obstacle. The wind out here blows east, and so we had to go, you know, north and west a little bit to try to get, try to help our statistics on that a little bit. And then we tried to track weather patterns, just the cloud patterns in general. We watched, you know, the animations that the weather websites will put out and tried to track where it might go. And actually, it turned out just getting 30 miles away from where we launched, landing 30 miles away from where we launched, but it backtracked. It probably traveled around 100 miles, but went south and then backtracked north and then dropped.
Well, a lot of lessons to put in, Captain Max's science book here to think about all the lessons you've learned about aviation, about weather. But let's get to the central point here, and we have a link to your video over at thetakeaway.org. What was it like to plug that camera in and see what it got?
It was incredible. I mean, there were so many incredible moments. Just finding the thing in the tree was we were just elated. I mean, it was just so incredible just to see, just to find it again. Last time we saw that, that thing was a mile in the sky. We thought we'd never see it again. We thought maybe we have a 30% chance of actually getting it back, much less getting footage on it. And so then when we drove home and put it into the laptop and watched this crazy rocking footage while we were eating dinner, probably getting a little nauseous doing it. But we said to ourselves, if we see black, we're going to freak out. We'll be so delighted. And sure enough, there it was, the sun against black space sky. It's just an amazing thing.
And the Earth?
And the Earth, the curvature of the Earth. I mean, you really see how delicate that membrane is. And it's just really, it's not a crust. It's more like a soft halo. And you also appreciate how thin everything is, just the height difference between the water and the land. You can see this when you're up on a plane. You know, when you step back from that perspective and you look at how the oceans meet the land, that there's really no height difference. It's really
wow.
Just this massive ocean and this tiny little line.
So, Luke Skywalker, you are like Buzz Aldrin now. I mean, Guy Spieler. That's so great.
I guess so.
Congratulations.
I guess so.
How much did you spend on this whole thing?
My wife kept asking that. She said, so how much is this costing? I said, if we get the camera back or not. But it ran us about $600, I think.
$600, man, that's a discount from the space shuttle launches. Oh, man, that is just so fantastic. And where are you now?
I'm in JFK, about to get on a plane going to LA. I'm a cinematographer by trade, which, of course, helped.
And you missed your first plane. Good luck on the next one, Luke.
Thanks so much.
Luke Geisbühler, who got HD pictures from space with a balloon and his trusty son, Matt. Max.
Captain Max.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.